So the theme of the year is practicing faith. And if you really think about it, we are trying to understand how we might live out our faith, like in our life, in our world, right? But we all know that what we do here on Sunday is just a small slice of our actual life. Maybe 2 hours we come to church, and that too just one day of the week. What about the rest of the week? What about the stuff that we do over the week? What about our work? Like some of us, there's a bit of younger folks as well. School, right? Studies, chores, like the duties that we have. What does practicing faith have to do with those parts, like Mondays to Fridays, let's say, or even weekends for some? What does faith have to do with the work that we do, the chores and the tasks that we have in our lives? And I think today what we want to do is we want to look at a few texts in the book of Proverbs and try to, you know, help us to allow these verses to reorient the way we think about work, basically. How do we think about work? What does the Bible say? And how does the Bible teach us to think about work? So in a way, our desire is to get, let's say, a healthy relationship to work, if you like. A healthy approach to think about work. It's not a complete kind of lesson. It's just a glimpse of it from a few verses in the book of Proverbs. But we want to approach this text as asking, what does this tell us on how to have a healthy approach to work? By the way, we need a healthy approach to most things in life, like I think all things in life, to relationships, to money, to wealth, and most certainly to work as well. So that's the kind of the goal of today's reflection, today's sermon. And we will first look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 15. This is the classic text. It's a bit small, so you might have to check in your own devices or own Bibles. But this is the classic text on work. Let me read from this from the NIV version. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. A troublemaker and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who works maliciously with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart. He always stirs up conflict. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. A couple of dramatic texts. Of course, this is such a relevant text in the days of Olympics. I'm not sure if you're following the Olympic Games, but I mean, this is just a time to just be amazed at the discipline, the hard work, and the diligence of these athletes, right? And of course, if you're supporting a particular group and they're not winning, the frustration, I mean, this, you almost want to throw this text at your athletes. But it's a text about work ethic, about persistence, about discipline. Growing up, my father would bring out this text to inspire me or for whatever reason, but this is a text that I grew up in. Like every time I see an ant on the ground, this like, immediately comes to mind. But it's a really inspiring text, right, that inspires us, challenges us to work hard, to be persistent, to be diligent. But the first half of this, the way I've said it here, one from 6 to 11, 6 to 11 itself is a great passage from the Bible. But if it was just this, it would be, I think, I would say incomplete. If it was just this few verses on the left side, it would be, yes, it'd be highly motivational. It'd be highly inspirational. The top productivity tips and all of that. And yet, it's not yet complete. If you look to the other side, what's going on the other side of the text there is we see that there's another element to hard work or diligence or to work, really. And that has to do with ethics, and that has to do with the morals, to be caring to others, to not be conceited, to not be selfish. And if you really think about the way we talk about work today, a lot of emphasis is on this side, the diligence, the hard work, not so much on the other side, the morals. But it's important to realize that in the Bible, these two always go together. Like, it's not just hard work that pays, but it's also how you work and how you love people around you. So those two always go together. And of course, this comes across very clear here. It's quite a long text, but I think it's worth reading in full. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1 to 23, parts, certain sections of the chapter. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. In the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who would preserve their life stay far from them. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Whoever sows injustice reaps calamity, and the rod they wield in fury will be broken. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Drive out the mocker, and out goes strife. Quarrels and insults are ended. One who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have the king for a friend. The eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge, but he frustrates the words of the unfaithful. The sluggard says, "There's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square." One who oppresses the poor to increase his wealth, and the one who gives gifts to the rich, both come to poverty. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will exact life for life. So it's very clearly given here. There's definitely the element of diligence and hard work, but there's also the element of ethics, of morals, of being selfless and sacrificial. But we'll get to that later. First, I want to just reflect a bit on work. Just a general, take a step back and let's kind of take it apart. Take apart what we think of as work. Work is something, as I was reflecting about it, I was just struck by how the reality of this. Work is just something that's pervasive. It's everywhere. Like, it's literally what we do, right? I mean, one of the first questions we think or we ask somebody, when we, a new person we ask is, what do you do? What is your work, right? And we spend so much of our time on work. Like, if you think about your weekly schedule, a big chunk of that, it goes into work. Yes, it goes into sleeping, it goes into entertainment, it goes into like personal care, personal time, all of that. But if you think about it, the prime time, right? The time when you're most awake, when you're at your prime of work, that goes to the work that you do. So the bulk of your active, your most prime time is taken up by what you might call work. And of course, even for, I remember when I was unemployed, quote unquote unemployed, it doesn't mean there's no work. There's always work to be done. And we're always engaged in work one time or the other. This is the time of holidays, like vacation. There was a very interesting study. It says that 25% of people, when they're on holiday, they check on their work emails every hour. And this shows how we cannot get away from work. Like, it's just something we do. And at the same time, as I've hinted, work has to do with more than just jobs and your career, right? Work is much more than your job or your career, what we do 9 to 5 or whatever time your work allocation is. Work has to do with what we do with our bodies, with our hands, or whatever it is you use, with your mind, what we produce, right? And so the title for today, Wise Hands, comes from that imagery. It's not so much about jobs and career, although that is also part of it. But what we do, how we use up our energy productively, what are the activities that we do productively? It can be at home, it can be chores, it can be relationally. Those are also as important as the jobs that we have. The notion of handiwork, the things that we produce with a hand. So it's not so much only about employment, but work is much more than that. In fact, if you go back in history, there are a couple of really interesting books that I found out as I was researching about this that anthropologists have written. Anthropologists would tell us that what we think of work, 9 to 5, the kind of work, is very recent. It's only maybe 100 years in my context, in my back at home in India. It's in living memory. Like, I remember my dad, when he says work, he means something else. So he'll say, like, he'll go to the office and do his work thing, and he'll come back and say, okay, it's now time to work. Like, actual work begins, like, when you come home. Because sitting in the office, writing stuff on the paper, that's not work in his mind, right? So work is... The way we think of work today in our culture here, it's a very recent innovation, and it is in a way liberative. It frees us up for doing other things as well, but we need to remember that that's not always how work has been in the past. To work and to be paid for your work is also a very recent thing. What I'm trying to say with all of this is to say that it puts work in perspective. The all-encompassing, all-pervasive, all-controlling activity that determines how we live and what we do in a year, that's not so ultimate at the end of the day. It's really something that came up recently, and it's not the ultimate thing. Like, even in human history as well, that's not how people have worked. I say that not only, just think of the imagery even of hands, right? There are waged kind of works that we do with our hands, but also there's so many other elements of work that we involve in, even on a daily basis, that are not paid, but are equally important as well. And the reason why I'm saying this is not to dismiss the importance of work. Because if you look at the Bible, God is characterized to have done work. In fact, the Bible calls the universe as the handiwork of God, the works of his hands. Of course, it's a metaphor. It doesn't mean that God literally has a hand, but it shows that God worked and produced the universe in its beauty, its complexity. That is what God has done. And if you remember the story of the Adam and Eve, when Adam was created, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. The other words for that are to serve it and to keep it. So when God created human beings, he made them, in a sense, to work the fields. Not for a salary, not for jobs or career, but as your calling, as your role in this universe, to work and to serve even. By the way, the word serve there is the same word that's used for religious service in the Old Testament. So in other words, Adam was put there to work in the garden, and that was his way of worship. I think that's very mind-blowing if you think about it, but let's come to that. I'll not dwell much more on that. So work has work is more than careers and jobs. It's what we do in this world, what we produce in this world. And as we saw in the beginning, work is always coupled with your morals, your ethics, the way you love people, the love of the community. More than just hard work, it also has to do with our love and our care for one another. With all of that said, let's come back to Proverbs. And of course, the classic, what stands out right away is the challenge to work hard. And of course, this is an important challenge that is always timely. Diligence is the word. It's the right word, I think. And that's, of course, is the most obvious notion that comes out. Work hard. We have a lot of examples in nature, but also people around us. We work hard, we give our best, and that is one of the ways in which we have a healthy relationship with work. Not laziness, not ignoring what we need to do, but to work hard. But we all also know that working hard is not the only solution. It doesn't solve everything. There is a reality in this world that there are people who work hard, but are still in poverty. And it may be more stark in different countries. If we go by the metrics of how much we work, if everyone who works hard is automatically rich, then the level of richness and poverty will be very different, and we know that. Working hard simply doesn't make us rich. There's the reality of poverty, of systemic structures in society, and there's majority part of the world is filled with people in this situation of poverty due to discrimination or due to lack of infrastructure. They work hard, but they struggle to even make it on a daily basis. And of course, the book of Proverbs is never ignorant about this. If you go to verse 7 here, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. It's not, the book of Proverbs and the Bible is not blind to this reality that there's a power dynamic, there's rich and poor, there's always the struggle, the reality of life. So it's not just hard work that we are challenged to do in our relationship with work. Yes, some can get success out of hard work, but hard work by itself does not give us a purpose, and hard work by itself doesn't give us wise hands. The other angle that we see, as I mentioned, on the right side of the presentation here, there is to have a relationship of self-service, of sacrifice, of other-centered attitude in our work. We do our work to serve others. We do our work not to only to gain, not only to build ourselves up, but to care for others. Of course, that is a distillation of a lot of things that are said there in the book of Proverbs. But the morals, the ethics part is also equally important. There's a book that I found in our public library that I'm really enjoying. It's called The Second Mountain by David Brooks. He's a well-known journalist in the let's call him a journalist because he writes a lot in the newspaper. But it's a really interesting book. He says that he uses a metaphor of mountains. He said there are two mountains in a person's life. The first mountain is the mountain you climb for your own ambition, like to make a name for yourself, to get a job, to put yourself out there, and to assert yourself, to present yourself to the world. But a lot of people climb the first mountain and realize that they are still empty, that they're still dissatisfied with life, that there's no joy, a deep joy and happiness in life. And that's where they're confronted with the second mountain. And the second mountain is when you lose yourself for the sake of others. You lose yourself for the sake of a cause or for the sake of faith or whatever it is. He's writing as a secular writer, although he's a Christian. So the second mountain is where you lose yourself. You don't assert yourself, but you give yourself in order to serve others, right? You give yourself in order to help and to benefit others. So I'm just pointing that out, the writing by David Brooks, to emphasize how others are also kind of stumbling into this idea that we don't get joy from taking for ourselves, gaining a name for ourselves only. We get joy from giving ourselves away, from serving one another. And that is, of course, very much presented here in the book of Proverbs. The way we have a healthy relationship with work is to approach it as a way of serving others rather than building myself up, building my own empire up. We work hard, yes, but working hard simply doesn't give us the wise hands. It gives us, it is when we think of others and give ourselves away. The other side of working hard, of course, is anxiety. Overwork, of course, overworking is not so much a problem in Scotland, I think. I know that overworking is a huge problem in parts of Asia, in parts of India as well, in China, in South Korea when I was there. Overwork is a serious problem. And overwork and anxiety comes from, to put it extremely simple here, comes from the notion from trusting work and ambition too much. If I may say, to put work as a god, to put work as the most ultimate thing, that can be a cause for anxiety when work becomes ultimate. The opposite of anxiety in the language of the Bible, of course, is rest. Rest is a powerful idea. Of course, it's one of the commandments that God gave in the Ten Commandments. Rest is to say, I can take time off. I can give myself away because it's not about money, it's not about work, it's not about my status, it's not those things that saves us, it is God. And therefore, I can take rest. I don't have to push myself all the time, I don't have to be earning all the time, I don't have to be building all the time, I can rest, I can trust in God, right? So that is the opposite of anxiety. Anxiety is when work becomes God, work becomes ultimate. Rest is when we flip that and realize that no, it's not work that's ultimate, it's God that's ultimate. It is God who gives us the work, and we honor God when we trust in Him and when we rest. Of course, this also comes across in the verses that I've highlighted here. This is where the reality that God is the ultimate. God is God at the end of the day. And we need to be humble, humility, and turn from injustice, turn from wickedness, and instead trust in God, rest in God. To realize that God is the creator. In verse 22 and 23, specifically, I think it comes across to trust that ultimately we have to contend with God. God is the creator, and God is who we have to trust in ultimately, not our work. So if I may tie all of these things together, the healthy approach to work would be, at least from these verses, would be defined by diligence, your hard work, yeah, service, and rest or trust. Diligence, service, and trust. I think we need to look at our own work and think about whether we are having a proper, right relationship with our work, our life, the things that we do with our life. Do we have diligence? Do we have an attitude of service? And do we have rest and trust in God in our work? At the end of the day, I realize that this few verses here in Genesis chapter 2, it captures this concept so beautifully. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it, or to serve it and to keep it and tend it." Here is the notion of diligence, service, and rest captured quite beautifully. See, think of the Bible teaches us to think of work as tending, as caring, right? And of course, these are language that are quite alien to the way we think of work. In today's language, if we go online, at least from my own YouTube algorithms, work is cutthroat. Work is competitive. It's you have to cut in order to climb. You have to step on others in order to climb. And yet here the language is of tending and of caring. And I think this is quite, it challenges the way our culture and we, of course, even think of work. But work as being part of, when we think of work as tending and caring, it becomes a part of our faith. And that's how we practice faith, which is, of course, exactly what we are exploring in this year. And of course, in this short verse in Genesis, it reminds us that God gave the task. God put human beings in the garden to tend it. God is God who gave it. The job is not the ultimate thing. God is the ultimate. God is the one with authority who gives the work. And this is a God-given work, and so the challenge is to be diligent in the work. And also to, when the time comes, to rest, to trust in God, to obey Him and to trust and rest in Him. This implies that we are to turn away from laziness, from and also from anxiety, but to work hard, to tend, to care, and to rest when we need. In the New Testament, Jesus says, when somebody asks Him, what is the greatest commandment? This is what Jesus says in Mark chapter 12. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." If you really think about it, what is it in your life today that you give all your heart and your soul and your strength and your mind? Your prime time, your best effort, your creativity, where is it that all of this go? It makes sense that, yes, we give that to our work, to our workplaces, our best hours, our best years. And it makes sense if we think of work as obeying God's commandment, which is to love God through our work, through our vocation, through the chores that through the tasks that we do. Work is given by God. I'm not saying that the job you have is given by God. That's another matter, and that's why it's important to break it apart and say that work is more than jobs and career. There's times, of course, to change jobs, change work. I'm not saying that that job is what God has given, but the task of working, the task of productive activity in this earth is what God has given to us. And in that is how we love God with all our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength. Work is not God. Work is what's given to us by God. And work is not to take for ourselves. Work is to serve God and to serve one another. That's where we can use all our heart, our soul, our strength, creativity, and serve God with our work. Of course, Jesus himself set the best example. He was diligent in his work. He worked hard. He served others to the best. He sacrificed his own life. But when the time came, he rested. So often you would find him praying, or he would even be sleeping in the boat when there's a storm. Or there was a time when he was questioning God, God the Father, just before his death, but he rested in God, saying, if it is your will, then let it be so. Jesus, of course, gives the best example of how we might have this healthy relationship to the task that we have in this world, the calling that we have in this world. So I just want to encourage you to do this reflection and prayer. You can think about this even later as well. But I would invite you to think about your workplace or your homes or even your hobbies or the chores or the tasks, duties that you need to do. Think about them and pray that we will have a good, healthy and wise relationship to work, approach to work, that we will not make it God, neither will we make it, we will slack in our work. And also pray for wisdom, that our hands may be wise and our hearts may be set on pleasing God, because it is God who gave us a task of tending and serving others and this beautiful world. So may we all have a healthy relationship to work, and may we all have wise hands in the work that we have to do in this world. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you that you created us and created this beautiful world. You created people around us, and you gave us the freedom to work. You gave us the freedom to do things with our creativity, with our skills, and with the energies that you've given to us. And we thank you, Lord, that yes, we come to worship you on Sunday, but we have things to do, whether it's whether at home or at workplaces, we have things to do from Monday to Saturday. And we thank you, Lord, that you call us into the world to serve. So, Lord, help us to be diligent. Help us to serve, and help us to rest in you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.